All right, so you sent in this list of books about AI, and wow, you really weren't kidding around, were you?
You've definitely got some heavy hitters on there.
Yeah, like Life 3.0, superintelligence, the coming wave. It's like you're prepping for, I don't know, some kind of AI
Or
apocalypse.
maybe just trying to understand the biggest technological shift since, well, ever.
I mean, you're not wrong, but seriously, Tegmark, Bostrom, Suleiman. These guys don't pull any punches. And then you tossed in, let's see, Asimov, Gluck, and Johnson's Power and Progress, Stuart Russell's Human Compatible, Brian Christian's The Alignment Problem.
And the granddaddy of them all.
Oh, yeah, almost forgot. Artificial Intelligence, a Modern Approach. You went all in on this one.
It's a pretty good sign that you're serious about understanding where AI is going and, maybe more importantly, where it could take us.
Okay, so before we go full on Matrix here, let's start with something everyone can wrap their head around, paperclips.
Ah, the paperclip maximizer, a classic, if slightly terrifying, thought experiment.
Straight out of Bostrom superintelligence, right? This idea that we create an AI so good at making paperclips that it decides, hey, the most efficient way to do that is to turn, well, everything into more paperclips.
Including us, presumably.
Exactly, which kind of makes you want to stock up on staplers instead, just in case.
He's not saying it's going to happen, but it highlights a really crucial point. We need to think about these seemingly outlandish scenarios now, because the potential consequences of misaligned AI are, well, kind of huge.
Okay, so we need to make sure our AI is programmed to value something other than office supplies.
Got it. Pretty much. And Bostrom's not the only one waving a flag about this. Remember Mustafa Suleiman? The coming wave. Talk about a wake-up
Oh,
call.
yeah, the guy who literally co-founded Google DeepMind. He would know a thing or two about this stuff.
Exactly. And he's got a front-row seat to this whole technological revolution. And he does not sugarcoat the potential downsides.
Let me guess, digital weapons, deep fakes, mass unemployment. That's like ripped from the headline stuff.
All of that and more. But what I find interesting is that he's not all doom and gloom. He actually thinks we can steer this ship in the right direction.
Wait, really? Because so far, this is all sounding a bit, existential threat to me.
He's calling for global cooperation on a scale we've never seen before. International agreements on AI development, guidelines for ethical considerations, all designed to prevent the very scenarios that Bostrom outlines in Superintelligence.
So, like the Paris Agreement, but for rogue AI instead of climate change?
Exactly. And this brings us to another critical point, especially given what you're interested in, the whole societal impact of technology.
Right, because having all this cool tech is great, but not if it just makes the world a worse place, right?
Right. And in Power and Progress, Acemoglu and Johnson argue that technological advancements, well, they don't automatically translate to progress for everyone.
Haven't we kind of seen that before, though? Like the Industrial Revolution comes to mind. Tons of new inventions, but also a lot of social upheaval. So, what makes AI different?
Well, AI has the potential to be even more disruptive than previous technologies. Think about it. Automation, on a scale we can barely imagine, potentially affecting everything from manufacturing and transportation to healthcare and education.
And that's where this whole so-so automation idea comes in, right? Where companies are so eager to replace human workers with AI, even if it's not really the best solution, because it just seems like the future.
Exactly. Acemoglu and Johnson argue that we need to be much more deliberate about how we integrate AI into the workforce.
So it's not just about can we do this, but should we do this? And if so, how do we do it in a way that actually makes things better?
Exactly. We need to constantly be asking, is this improving things? Is it creating new jobs and opportunities? Or is it just going to make existing inequalities even worse?
And those are some pretty heavy questions. All right, so we've got the doom and gloom scenario, the call for global action, and the warning about unintended consequences. But before we dive any deeper, I have to ask, where does all this leave us? Is there any hope for a future where AI actually makes our lives better?
That's where it gets really interesting, because it's not just about, like, hoping for the best, right? It's about actually designing AI for the best. And that's where Stuart Russell's book, Human Compatible, comes in.
Oh, this is the one where he talks about aligning AI with human values, right? Which, let's be honest, sometimes feels like herding cats.
Yeah, good luck getting humans to agree on anything, let alone something as complex as, like, our core values.
Right, like whose values are we even talking about? But okay, so Russell, he goes there.
He goes there. He argues that we need to fundamentally shift our thinking about AI. It's not just about making machines intelligent. It's about making them, and this is key, provably beneficial to humanity.
Okay, provably beneficial. That sounds like a pretty high bar to clear. How do you even begin to prove something like that?
Well, Russell, he proposes these three core principles for building what he calls beneficial machines. And one that really stands out to me is this idea of making the AI's objective function. So basically what it's ultimately trying to achieve, uncertain from the start.
Wait, uncertain. So we're supposed to give the superintelligence a goal, but we make that goal fuzzy.
In a way, yeah. Because if we're too specific about the goal, then we risk those unintended consequences, right? Remember the paperclip maximizer?
Oh, right, the paperclips. Yeah, I guess make more paperclips is a pretty clear goal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Russell's arguing that AI needs to be designed to be inherently uncertain about our true preferences. It should constantly be learning, adapting, and crucially deferring to human judgment.
Okay, so instead of programming in make us happy, which, let's be real, could go sideways very, very quickly, we program in figure out what makes us happy and like constantly check in with us to make sure you're on the right track.
You got it. It's about building humility into AI, recognizing that even with all of its processing power, it can't fully comprehend the nuances of human values.
Which brings us to another book on your list, Brian Christian's The Alignment Problem. Now, this one seems to dive right into the nitty-gritty of how we actually do that, right? Like, how do we make sure AI understands what we mean, not just what we say? Because those aren't always the same thing.
And it gets surprisingly specific. Christian dives into the challenges of algorithmic bias, for example.
Oh, yeah, because we tend to think of AI as being purely objective, but it's only as good as the data we train it on.
Right. Exactly. He gives this great example, actually, about an AI that misidentified a gorilla in a photo.
Wait, seriously? It couldn't tell a gorilla from what? A lamppost?
No. It was a bit more nuanced than that. But basically, the AI had been trained on a data set that mostly featured lighter skin tones. So when it encountered an image of a gorilla, which also had darker fur, it made an incorrect association.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's not good.
Not good at all. And it highlights this really important point. It's not enough to just build AI. We have to build it responsibly. We need to be mindful of the data we use, the algorithms we design, and the potential for unintended consequences at every step.
So it's not just about writing code. It's about anticipating the ripple effects of that code in the real world. It's like coding with a conscience.
I like that. Coding with a conscience. It's something that comes up again and again in the alignment problem. Christian explores all sorts of techniques for addressing bias, like ensuring diverse data sets, creating more transparent algorithms, things like that.
So we've got a lot to think about, aligning AI's goals with our own, making sure it understands our values, constantly checking for bias. Sounds like a full-time job, honestly, and that's before we even get to the technical challenges of actually building these things. Which brings us to, I think it's fair to call it the granddaddy of all AI books, Artificial Intelligence.
Yeah.
A modern approach. I mean, we've talked principles, ethics, but this one, this is where the rubber meets the road, right?
Yeah. Definitely the foundational textbook, yeah. A lot of computer science programs use it, and for good reason.
So not exactly a beach read, then.
It can get technical, sure, but it's surprisingly accessible, even if you, you know, don't have a background in computer science.
Okay, good to know, good to know. So what kind of stuff does it actually cover?
It's pretty much everything. From the history of AI, like the different schools of thought and all that, to the actual nuts and bolts of how these systems work. So search algorithms, knowledge representation, machine learning, natural language processing, it's all in there.
Okay, so comprehensive, I got it. But, I mean, knowing you, there's got to be some, like, nugget of wisdom that you took away from this massive book, something that really stuck with you.
I think the most important takeaway is how it emphasizes that AI, it isn't just one thing, you know, it's a collection of different tools, techniques, approaches, each with its own strengths and limitations.
So it's less about creating some single all-powerful AI and more about building these specialized systems for, like, you know, specific tasks.
Exactly. Which is important to remember, right? It means the future of AI, it's not predetermined.
Right.
It's going to be shaped by the choices we make about which tools we develop, how we use them, and what values we embed in them.
So circling back to where we started, like looking at your reading list, it's clear you're really digging into these big questions about AI's role in our future.
And these books, I think they give you a really fantastic foundation for that. I mean, you've got the philosophical stuff, the ethical considerations, the practical challenges, even like the technical details.
It's, like you said, a crash course in AI without having to, you know, actually write the code yourself.
And hopefully you come away with a sense of both the immense potential here, but also the very real risks. Yes.
Absolutely. So, to everyone listening, if you're feeling inspired to kind of, dive into this whole world of AI, you've got a great roadmap right here. These books are a fantastic place to start to really understand not just what AI is, but what it could be.
And remember, the future of AI, this isn't something that just happens to us, right? It's something we create.
Well said. And on that note, we'll leave you to ponder the possibilities. This has been quite the deep dive. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling maybe I need to go for a walk in nature or something. Unplug before the robots take over, you know?
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Thanks for joining us on this journey into the world of AI. Until next time, keep those minds curious.